In the meantime, I want to speak to Jamie DeLargy because it's another busy day for Theresa May, or a busy night coming up for sure. Jamie, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Theresa May, busy night tonight, big night tonight. Some suggestion that it's a begging bowl and she'll have to wait outside the room while the big people make the decisions. A bit embarrassing for her if we listen to everything that the DUP leader is saying. Or does she have a trick up her sleeve?
I don't really think so. I mean, she's looking, as we know, to get the extension to June 30. Donald Tusk, President of the European Council, says that he really wants it to be up to a year with his flextension. In other words, if she gets a withdrawal agreement through, they can leave earlier than that. And practically what it means is they get a deal through during the course of 1 month, they can leave at the first day of the next month. So that's what he's angling for, and I reckon that he's likely to have more sway over the members of the European Council and Theresa herself. It requires unanimous agreement, and I would have imagined that he will get what he wants. The French are a bit unhappy. They're concerned that that if the UK continues and within the EU and takes part in the elections, which will have to happen if we're still there by the end of May, that it could end up disrupting business, and they'll likely put on some perhaps humiliating conditions. So in other words, they say you can have your extension, it will be up to a year, but here's what you'll have to do to earn it. And that might mean, some further embarrassment for Theresa in having to agree to things like not disrupt. Essentially, what they're saying is, and what has been required is not to disrupt the functioning of the EU institutions. Now, she wouldn't want to do that, but there is obviously the possibility that, and the very distinct likelihood that she wouldn't be in charge, and that there might be somebody like Boris Johnson. And so you can see why they want to make sure that they have everything, all their ducks in a row before they'll agree any extension. So, no, I don't think she will get what she wants. I think she'll have to take what they're offering.
Would a number of pro-Brexit MEPs be able to cause bother during that year?
Well, geez, that's just exactly what the French are worried about, and I'm sure that in truth they're not alone. Now, they would be swamped by the other members, the other MEPs. Having said that, there's a lot of anti-Brussels sentiment in a number of continental countries. That's likely to mean people returning to the Parliament or coming from these countries and having a sort of a like-minded approach to Nigel Farage. And, you know, together, yes, not the UK MEPs, Brexit-minded MEPs on their own, but in alliance, let's say, with these others, discontented people, malcontents, if you like, maybe that's too strong a word, probably is, but in the sense that they will then together cause problems. And the EU is plenty of business to be dealing with. I mean, it's not as if once it fixes Brexit, that's it. There are all sorts of issues that it has to concern itself with and reform itself to move forward. And you can imagine how some people in there creating problems, and perhaps a new prime minister in the shape of Boris Johnson not helping things for them. So we'll see what happens. But I that's why I come back to that point about, you know, they will attach conditions.
She's going to try and convince them that there is a plan between her and Jeremy Corbyn. There's not much sign of that yet.
No, there's not. I a lot of people seem to think this is almost like a pointless exercise. Jeremy Corbyn comes from a very left wing element in the Labour Party, and that element for decades has been anti the EU. They see it as a capitalist club. So while many Labour supporters, many Labour MPs are very much pro EU, Jeremy Corbyn's not in that category, and he's, you know, he's sort of, he would be in that sceptical, very left-wing grouping that you know has huge reservations. So I genuinely think he probably is trying to get some sort of agreement with Theresa May, who actually is not a Brexiteer, but has ended up in that camp because she thinks that's what she has to do to fulfil the democratic mandate that she was handed in the referendum. But in other words, they have a genuine motivation to get to cobble together some arrangement. It's just, if you were to put two people, just like two people from those parties, that would be not less likely to come to sort of agreement. You'd be stuck. I mean, they just, you know, temperamentally, you can't see them sort of working this out together. You could imagine a Ken Clark, let's say, for the Conservatives, and coming together with, I don't know, perhaps Hillary Benn, and they could probably cobble together a deal. But those are not the two that are going to be in that are the key figures. So, but I wouldn't discount some sort of agreement at some point between them, because I don't think it's in anybody's interest to be in this half in, half out in the case of Flextension. I don't think anybody wants that.
Okay.
The Brexiteers obviously don't, but I don't think anybody else fancies it, except that they want to just stay in the EU come what may.
Okay, just very briefly, do you feel some sympathy for her? She'll go in tonight at 6 o'clock. She'll make her pitch to all those leaders. She'll then have to leave the room. They'll sit round and eat dinner and discuss what she said and how to respond to her. You know, where does she go? Does she go out and sit in the kitchen? You know,
maybe like those people, you know, you see, you know, fewer and fewer of them, it seems like, standing outside a building, you know, having a fag, you know, in a wee, in the doorway, you know. But I don't think she smokes, but you just imagine, sort of metaphorically, she's in that doorway huddling with a few other people and having a wee, saying like, oh, how do you think it's going on in there? Do you think we have a chance? Takes another drag. You know, she's sort of, yeah, so it's not really very, it's not really where you want your prime minister to be, you know, standard. But that's where, you know, conditions of circumstances have placed her. I have a lot of sympathy for her. I mean, she's, you know, she's just not a negotiator. She's not a person, and she's not suited to the role she's been given. But, I mean, I don't know that anybody would have done brilliantly well. I mean, look at those indicative votes. They were going to sort of give it to Parliament. Parliament will decide these things. Parliament's responsibility. They'll come up with a solution. They didn't. So, I mean, you know, so who is the person that would sort of bring everybody together in a common view? I don't know that they even exist.
One final question before we do head up to the news, Jamie. Just a couple of minutes on this one. Debenhams, you know, where you and I, we basically put them on their feet. They're in difficulty now.
Yeah, well, they've got, across the UK, something like 166 stores, 5 in Northern Ireland, I believe. 50 expected to close. That's a number that's been suggested. You know, that 1 in 3. Would you expect something to happen in Northern Ireland? Well, on you know, just looking at the odds, you might think that there 2 could go here. But like, you know, that's not actually, it's not, it isn't done by chance. It's not done by throwing a pair of dice. Nevertheless, you would wonder whether all the stores here would survive. We've been through this. The problems that department stores, all department stores, are having these days. I think this is irrelevant. I just picked this up. A third of department stores in England and Wales have disappeared since 2010. I mean, we're not having to go back 50 years. A third, 1 in 3, has gone across the water in the last 8 or 9 years. I mean, that's staggering.
It is staggering, but I have to say, I put a picture up on Twitter about 2 months ago. I was in Debenhams in Belfast, and I counted, and I was just killing half an hour waiting on a friend, and I counted the number of people, and I counted the number of mannequins, and there were more mannequins in Debenhams on a Thursday afternoon than there were people. And, you know, that's not good.
No, it's not. I thought you were going to say like Brian Hanrahan, I counted them in.
I know. I can sometimes lead a very boring existence. You know, you talk about Theresa May outside the meeting with a fag. She could do that. She could go to the local department store and count the mannequins. We are out of time. We are out of time.
Okay.
Cheers, James. Right. Thank you. Bye. What's the oddest thing you've ever done when killing time waiting on a friend? Do let us know. We could fill 15 minutes with that. 0289033105 077 66 105 105.